CliffCentral.com.
All right, we're live and we're back on CliffCentral.com Friday morning. We've got lots of things to get into. It is No Politics Friday, and so far we've managed to avoid that. Ben, what are you pouring there? It's as loud as a glacier.
Is it? Oh, it's a good meter away from me. Just getting some hot water in, Gareth.
Okay,
just getting
good.
Some hot water in. Start your day with hydration good. And be happy for a whole day.
Very nice. Simpiwe and Ben, we've got to talk about Durban this morning. I've already seen the comments rolling in. Gray says, beautiful poo coastline, assassinations, like AKA and politicians.
Oh, yeah. Fun fact. It was recent. Well, there's a video I watched recently. Durban has a Inkabi problem, which is basically hitmen, a hitman problem. They have far too many people in that line of work, which is very problematic in this country. So that's number one. That's already number one. So I don't know what else Ben is going to share, but if we're already having an Inkabi problem, it's just going downhill.
I kind of want to take it back further, because obviously I grew up in Cape Town, and when you grow up in Cape Town, you think there's nothing else in the country worth seeing. So you have no idea what exists past Plettenberg Bay, basically. And then, obviously, I moved to Joburg and I became more of an adult. And then I saw Durban and I was like, hey, this place must have been incredible not so long ago. And then, I've done two or three trips in the last, say, I don't know, it's called 5 years. And in many ways, like Durban back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, I mean, that was like the Miami of South Africa. But not because I had like a drug problem, but because the weather was incredible. It was like this tropical paradise. And it really is. I get excited about the idea of Durban. And then obviously Durban is not like that. It's an absolute toilet. Like, I went there and I drove around. I've never had a bad experience there, but the place is really, it's not great. Like, they've had some major issues, obviously, with weather and riots and all these other kind of things. You can't blame them. It's not like they made them happen, but there just feels like there are 10 times too many people there. Everywhere you look in these rolling hills, it's like it's all just suffocated with people and squalor. And obviously Durban then became Durban North. Like, it became so shit that there's an entire Durban North, like Umhlanga, where I eventually stayed, because I didn't stay in Durban. I drove there. I walked around there at night, and it felt like this really incredible yet somewhat sterile first world scenario. But I always kind of, everywhere I go in this country, I always think, like, how does stuff just become absolutely shit? Because it has. Well, you know, it's like,
I have to stand up for Durban, because it's always been one of my favorite places in South Africa, and I've always enjoyed going there. It's only really in the last 2 to 3 years, because of what's been happening there, that it's become extra shitty. It always used to be lovely, and you know, I've owned property in Durban. I've regularly gone there on holidays.
Yeah,
voluntarily.
Durban or Durban North? Like, I feel like they're different things. It's like
North of Durban, never in Durban itself. But I've got to say also that up to a short while ago, because even in the 2000s and 2010s, Durban was actually quite cool. Like, there was stuff going on there. There were interesting places and people and food and parties, and it was really, really cool. I feel like it's become grimy and grotty and third rate now.
But how does anything like that bounce back? Because tourism is a major driver, just to kind of keep the lights on, so to speak. So that gets taken away and flushed out.
Well, try not to poo directly into the sea is a good start. I mean, you know, pooing in the sea is usually going to put some people off. You want to flag a beach as blue, because people can go and swim there and not get covered in turd. That's usually a good thing.
Turd and chemicals.
Yeah, and I mean, here's a picture you sent me yesterday, Ben, of like there's some shit going on here, which we've just got to explain to people if they're not listening, if they're listening and not watching the podcast on YouTube. There's like a fire. There's a lamppost that's meant to be a street light that's been knocked over. It's just lying there. There's rubbish everywhere. There's like shit's burning. I think there's a terribly small person there next to it. A really, really small person, like a deformed homunculus of a person. The other car in the distance is speeding away as fast as it can. There's like a bucket going over the hill, and I don't know if it's if it's leaving because it started the fire, or it just looks like chaos. This looks like something you'd expect to see in a war zone.
It did look like a war zone in places. And like you don't want to shit, like you don't want to shit on people's lives, because if you live around here, you've obviously got some struggles of your own. But how does it just get like this? Like, Joburg City Centre for me is a fascinating place. And I know this country has its historical issues and there's certain reasons why things are a certain way. But that city centre was really quite something, because it was actually one of the most leading, incredible hubs back in the day because of all the money. Same with Durban. It was actually an incredible city, like world-class, world standards, world attractions.
Absolutely.
And now basically they cracked in. It's like, how does it start? Is it just 10 drug dealers move in? Is it 10 pimps move in? Or is it like 1,000 people come in and just start pooing everywhere? Like, how does all of this work? I would love to know what the breakdown of disaster is in these places. And how can we, I mean, as a human race, this isn't just Durban. This is obviously lots of places. It's just that it's clearly happened very hard and very hot, very fast in Durban.
Oh, man.
And it should be the most beautiful place in the world when you think about it. It really should be.
Yeah, so again, how do you get to the picture that I put up just now of like the fire and the burning
shit? How do we get there?
Wait. Guys, wait. Like, let's just calm down a bit.
And I'm all ears.
I think, in the, like the past, like recent years, let's say what, 3-4 years, we've seen like these natural disasters just like wreaking havoc in Durban, number one, right? So we've kind of now, placed that as the place where you don't want to live because that's the first place nature's going to strike. So I think that's the biggest cause, because when something like that happens, it takes people longer. Like financially, they've set back. They don't have homes anymore. They're not where they used to be financially. And so it's easier for them, or not easier. I think it's easier for a community to kind of just go downhill than still, you know, live that glorious life that it once was. And then obviously with ANC, load shedding, the economy, Cyril, it's just been a recipe for disaster. And I think that's what's happening to
one of the reasons Superior quotes is ANC. It's just like,
you know,
makes a very good point. I mean, like, it might not even be the fault of the people who are there, but I always want to know, like, you know, when does your life kick over into, I'm going to just make a fire on the side of the road and knock down the street lamp and, you know, and pour my rubbish out on the side of the road too. Like, I know a lot of poor people who don't do that. They may be poor, but they're not disrespectful and, you know, just like derelict.
Well, it's giving them a benefit of the doubt, you know, there could have been an accident, so that took the street light out. And knowing this country, service delivery and whatnot, it hasn't gotten fixed for months. That's what it's been like that. And then, like, number two, I'm just saying, like, there could be different factors, and it just so happened that day.
Just look at the shit going on in this picture. It's just, it looks.
can I just point out?
It's a lot, but I'm just. I've tried.
Can I just point out that was not isolated, and that was the best piece of road in the 5-kilometer stretch.
I don't know. I tried. I really did.
Simpiwe, you for standing up for Durban, we're going to give you lots of love and many points. But I think you're fighting a losing battle here.
But I also want to stand up for these places. I don't want to just be the guy that shits and goes, oh, look at this place. Let's go to the toilet. But how does it just become so bad? And, you know, again, like, Samir, like, you can't get away from what you said there. Service delivery is not happening. Okay, cool. So then you talk about the natural disasters like the weather, but the ANC is actually a natural disaster then.
It is.
It has to be seen. When a place becomes that much of a toilet, you can't just say, oh, these people are poor or whatever, because there's a very easy excuses that you can just throw into here. But then another thing just comes into what I've always said for so long, that overpopulation, no one ever talks about that. That has to be a factor here as well. There are too many people trying to do too many things with nothing going on. And that's why there's a fire. That's why there's a fire. Like, I had nothing else to do that day. Make a fire.
Okay.
All right. I know we're mocking these people because Shame, they're trying very hard to live their life as Simpiwe's. She's yes. tried to stand up for them this morning. Sure, but you don't need to set fire to shit and knock over street poles. That I don't understand. That's not helping anybody. So, all right, there's our attack on Durban. Some people call it Turden. Steve yep. says Turden. I mean, that's not very nice, but yes, okay. That little tick homunculus is at least being industrious, melting down the copper with his little fire pit. Well, is that really what's going on there?
Congo Chris, it's amazing that you know that, you know the ways of the wilds out here.
I mean, that little tick thing is about this big. I'm going to put the picture up again. You can just barely see it. Look, Ben, you need to look very carefully. I don't even think you saw it when you were driving. You see there's the red car.
Yes.
And between the red car and the fire, there's this tiny little person who Congo Chris reckons is melting down the copper in his tick pit. I think that's so hilarious. All right, very good. Before you go, Ben, Simpiwe wants to tell us about something called Balloon Fest. What is this? Why should we know about Balloon Fest? And I've never heard of this before.
So, Gareth, we had like a lengthy conversation once upon a time as the people when we spoke about Fire Festival, and we're like, oh, what a disaster. Yes. How could that ever happen? But no, there was something worse, you know, than Fire Festival back in the day, in like 1986. So in September, on the 27th, there was a fundraiser for the United Way, and it was intended to break the world record for simultaneously releasing small helium-filled balloons.
Oh, boy.
And so they released 1.5 million balloons up in the air.
Oh my God. That was
just disastrous, right? The weather kind of helped with like bringing some of the balloons down, but most of them landed on the lake, the seas. Two men were killed. And you won't believe where this happens, because I feel like only in America, in this particular place, crazy things like this happen. In Ohio, this is where people thought.
I've got a picture of it for everybody, just to give you an idea of the scale of this thing. And can you imagine all the bits of, because it's balloon, what do they make it out of, rubber?
I think
plastic. It's like a plastic rubber.
This is a terrible idea.
No, so look at all these balloons that were released into the sky. What a bunch of morons. This is 1986. Obviously, they didn't give a shit about the environment in 1986. I mean, it looks like, you know, those hundreds and thousands that you'd put on an ice cream?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. Each one of those is filled with helium, and it's made of plastic, and it's going to end up clogging up. So Cleveland is a shithole to start off with. I mean,
well,
the only thing.
Maybe it became a shithole in the back of this.
I think this is what happened, is they clogged up. Imagine all the pipes being clogged with like old balloons. They're probably still pulling balloons out of things in Cleveland, filled with like animal hair and, you know, feces and all kinds of other shit. I mean, just don't do what a stupid idea. Was the mayor fired after this? That's what I want to know.
It's a war crime.
I have no idea. And this was all for a world record. So, like, also, like, people don't think, and they're trying to break these records. So I guess this is actually one of the worst things that people have ever done, like, in history. If we had to, like, look back, Fire Festival, oh my gosh, oh my word, but Balloon Fest, what were you guys thinking? 1.5 million balloons just up in the air.
V-Rose reminds us it's made of latex. Balloons are made of latex. And thank goodness we got rid of plastic straws, you know, because, of course, you know, the balloons aren't nearly as big a problem. And then Slippery Pickle, just to tie it all into a nice little bow, says, I think they all ended up in Durban. So don't worry, guys. There's always a worse place than what you think you're in at the moment. Ben, thanks very much. We'll see you in a couple of days.
Well, have an awesome weekend. I won't be here next Friday.
Neither am I. Well, next Friday is a public holiday.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, not seeing you either, Ben.
That too. Okay.
All right, guys.
2 weeks, guys. I'm already excited.
Very good. Cheers, Ben. Bye-bye. Oh, Friday. It is already 18 minutes past seven if you're watching the clock for some reason. And we are going to be joined now by somebody who I've actually been looking to get on the show for a long time. He is in, and I mentioned this to Simpiwe earlier. You'll see it if you haven't seen it already. It's a new ad for Tropica. The reason I can't play it is because then YouTube always slam us with the copyright thing. You know, you get into trouble, but look out for it on the internet. It's very cool. It's called the new Tropica Smooth Driver ad, in which Ebenezer's the driver of the car and he's doing like a driving test effectively on an island, tropical island, with this woman who is the driving instructor, right? Or the driving test woman. And she's very serious, and it's a cute ad. It's hilarious because he manages to park his car in a way that nobody in the whole world can when it comes to parallel parking, manages to avoid the potholes doing a slalom. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. It's very funny. It's very cute. I saw it just yesterday and I'm very pleased that I did. Hey, Ebenezer, well done on the ad, dude. It's awesome. I love it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cliff. How are you doing?
I'm good, my friend. Nice to see you.
Can you hear me?
And I see you. You're killing it at the moment. You've obviously, for those people who don't know, you're a comedian who's worked alongside Dylan Uhlifont, Trevor Noah, Mark Lottering, Basket Mouth, Carl Joshua Ngube, Eugene Koza, Tatsun Konzo, and many more. You've also started various theater productions. You've been in TV, and now you're in this new ad. So you've been busy, man.
I have. Also, I just wanted to say before we carry on, I knew there was something off about the movie Up. I didn't know what it fucking was until I saw that movie first. I'm like, this is just, I get it, it's a love story, but are we still allowed to swear, Garrett?
You can say whatever you want.
Are we still allowed to swear?
You can say anything you like.
All right, yeah. Second of all, I try to speak to my parents like once a month. And every time I do, I try to think of all the bullshit they taught me that I'm trying to unlearn. One of those things was never quit. I'm like, have you heard of Garrett Cliff? I'm trying to respect you, man. Have you heard of Cliff? DJ Fresh, DJ Spool? I'm naming like 1,000 people. I should have quit while I was ahead. Now I'm promoting an ad. Ask a something, Christian. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Tropica. I know they're watching.
I love that.
I'm very happy to be here at 7:20 in the fucking morning.
I know. It's your favorite place to be first thing on a Friday morning. Hey, at least we're keeping you away. We're keeping you away from drugs and prostitutes. So be grateful, all right?
That's the shit I love, Garrett. This is why I got into the game. When I heard... Why do you think I fucking stand in front of people and tell jokes? I'm joking, man. No, bro. Very, very fortunate, you know. I'm writing on Netflix as well. There's a show that we're writing right now. Actually, shot a show for on Netflix, so that'll be a double whammy if they come out around the same time.
Hold on. What's the Netflix show? We want to hear about this Netflix show. There's like a slight delay.
I know I'm not at liberty to say exactly what it is, but what I can say is it me.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, you're
the one who has a slight delay.
Yes. A bit.
You guys are short. It's not your internet because, guys.
You.
Huh? It's you. Oh, it seems like it's a you problem. Just switch off your camera and just put it on audio only. Should help.
Yeah, that'll help.
Let me do that.
There we go.
So, right, so
is that faster now? You can hear us properly?
I can hear you guys properly.
Okay, good. So you can't tell us what the Netflix show is. Oh, damn.
But I can tell you about it, right? It's kind of set in a university. So it's YAD, but more university space. It's a dramedy. So one of our first dramedies, I think, we are trying to take the next step as far as how to ruin Christmas goes with the YADC. We're making a new genre, young adult drama comedy, right?
I love it.
So there's a lot of political stuff in there. We take a piss in that realm. There's a lot that I don't want to get sued. lose all, right. all the money that
we don't want to get you in trouble either, so don't worry about it. You don't have to tell us, but that's very cool that you're in a Netflix series. You've also been doing stand-up, right? You haven't stopped doing that throughout. That's still going well for you.
Yeah, dude. I got to do my one-man show. In Feb, I think I did it in Feb. I did my first hour. Imagine that, bro. Nine years. Yeah. So I did my first hour. That went really well. Nice. I got to say all the shit that I really wanted to say to people who kind of know what I think about. Yeah, bro. So been very fortunate in that realm. Other than that, bro, same masturbation jokes. You're not going to take time out to research. You know what I'm trying to say? We talk about all that dumb shit, bro. And farts.
Yeah. It's very highbrow. You know, what I've always liked about your show.
You know what I mean? It's very much like
it's at the intellectual end. And you know, when I go out, what I really want is for people to break down, Immanuel Kant and Aristotle for me when I'm trying to laugh. So that's why I come to your show. I come for the intellectual stimulation.
Yeah. Aristotle, more like ass is bottles.
I wonder if the guys from Tropicin knew. You've got this foul mouth, and that I find you hilarious, so I'm not going to make excuses for you. But I wonder when people, you know, because everybody's so careful and woke these days, and you've got to make sure that you hire someone who's socially conscious and says all the right things. And meanwhile, you're up there telling ass jokes, and a lot of brands would go, oh, we don't know that he's such a foul mouth, dirty person who likes talking about things like masturbation, right?
No, of course not. I don't like talking about it either, but how else do I? I'm trying to paint a picture of our present society. It's a mirror. It's a mirror, Gareth, and everything is ass. You know what I'm trying to say? Everything is ass, and everything's a wank. You know what I mean? Our best politicians. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, but I mean, when it comes to this Tropica ad, can we place him in another bracket? With this Tropica ad, Gareth, essentially that's the story. You know, the story is that despite all of the shortcomings, despite all of the things like the potholes and the load shedding and all of these things that try to impede us from moving.
We try to do this thing on a Friday where we try not to get into politics, because it's so easy for South Africans. Also, we slip straight into politics as soon as we get together and start talking. It's a habit that we're going to take a long time to shake. We always start worrying about the stuff that we can't control. Oh, Cyril's useless. Oh, Becky Kele. Angie Mochecha. That's all people do, is they get together and they start bitching about these things. And obviously, you know, it serves a purpose. There's like, it's a pressure release for us. We have to be able to joke about it and stuff. That's why we go to comedy shows like yours. The last time I spoke to you, though, was probably, what, April last year? So it's been a while since you've been on the show.
Yeah. It has been quite a while. Yeah. Sure. But yeah, dude, I think, should I switch the camera off again? I don't know. Yeah, man. So like, yeah, man, I think since then, bro, I've also been over the whole idea of the pure artist and what that meant to me, you know. Right now I'm just excited about trying to tell stories in different mediums and different spaces, you know. Also, it's very fortunate that I'm able to kind of be part of projects, because Tropic Ad is the first ad that I've done where I'm not like, I don't have to run with my underwear or carry like feathers and like, and roll around in like egg yolk and jump into a feather coop and wrestle a cockroach. You know what I mean?
What horrible shit. I mean, are you sure you were working on ads before, or was this kind of some the S&M bondage sex club that you were in? Sounds pretty rough.
Oh, I think I spoke about the wrong one. Sorry. Oh my god, my agent's gonna kill me. That was a secret. I signed a non-disclosure. Gareth, were you there? I feel like you were there, bro.
This is where you go. I'm sorry, my internet's breaking up really badly. Sorry, guys, can't hear you. Bye.
The camera, there's something wrong with the camera.
Oh man, have you?
By the way, Gareth, I know you're looking at me like I'm and the people at home might be thinking, "Wow, this guy is just consistently contemplating something." No, bro.
No, no,
stop. Right.
I'm not thinking.
Like, why is the sound so weird with you? But it's because your earphones are broken, so you're holding that earphone in place. Okay, I got you. I got you. I love it. So, dude, have you managed to settle down in a relationship, or is that not on the agenda at all?
Yeah, dude, 3 years strong.
What? I just the same one. Oh, very nice.
Yeah, 3 years strong, bro. 1 year monogamous. That has been great. She's right here.
I mean, 1 year monogamous, mate. You guys have been together for 3 years.
I always just assume that, you comedians are going to have a really rough time and, you know, trying to keep a relationship together because you're out there on the road all the time and there are other people who love you and it's very hard to be your girlfriend and all that stuff. So I just assume the relationships aren't going to last. But if you've done 3 years, that's amazing. Well done.
No, man, it's been a blessing. I just, you know, waking up to the same person. And
you just love it, right?
Just say the right best thing.
All right, just blink twice if you want us to send someone to save you.
No, don't send anyone here. Never.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, <God. laughs> Carl DeSantis says, my biggest wish is that Ebenezer gets paid enough by Tropica to buy new headphones and a mic.
I don't know. Is it like echoing?
No, it sounds fine. As long as you hold your hand on
these
that
people
thing,
are finicky.
We'll
keep the consistency. What should we join you for moral support with that? Yeah. Just so that,
talking to you here from inside a relationship. It's great. Back to you, the studio.
Cool. Now your sound is bad. I don't know why, but it seems to have gone really horrible.
Wait,
all right, well, that's good. No, that's fine. That's fine. Don't fiddle with it now. It's perfect. It's perfect.
All right, cool. I'm speaking to you here from inside a perfect relationship. Back to your studio.
Thank you. Roger that. And if you ever feel like you are not happy, just make sure that you wink once or twice and we'll send help your way. Because this is the Gareth Cliff Show.
If you need some help, call our hotline 08060HELP, please. That's 08060HELP, please.
All right. So what else have you been up to? Like, give us an update on what else has changed and what hasn't in the last year, because we haven't spoken to you in a while.
Yes, sir. So in the last year, there's like a lot that has happened. Like I told you, I shot this young adult drama comedy. I'm writing.
You seem to have quite a lot of work. There are plenty of comedians who are still struggling to get the work that they had pre-COVID. Do you think it's gone back to normal? Are people going out and like enjoying comedy the way they did before?
I think a lot of comedians have learned to kind of diversify. You know, a lot of comedians have gone back to like day job situations, which I think is smart as a comedian. If you want to stay true as a comedian, because some of us, and I mean, I'm very fortunate that I'm with friends that align with my ideals, but some of us have to align everything we do with brands. And so there's certain things that you can't really say anymore and expose about yourself depending on, you know what I mean? But I've been very fortunate that like
You know, we were talking about this before you came on, about like live golf with the Saudis and all these golfers who are taking that money. People have got to get paid. We've got to make money. You've got to live. I don't think we should be judging other people on this shit.
Yeah, for sure, bro.
Unless you have Elon Musk money and you can buy Twitter in order to say what you really think, the rest of us don't really have a chance. I mean, of course, you can stand on principle and go, well, I'm the sort of person who believes X, Y, and Z. But, you know, mostly that's going to cost you a lot more than it's worth anywhere in the world. Yeah. It's not just in South Africa.
No, for sure. Yeah, bro. And like, I think, yeah, bro. So what is a few...
I want to ask all of you about this. So Simpiwe, anybody who's listening to us this morning, this is something that they've invented. Now, they're very proud of themselves. I hate flying in planes. Planes are always terrible. It's just a big bus in the sky. Doesn't matter whether you are first class, business class, or economy. It's still shit because you're stuck in this tube. Bunch of other people, they're farting the whole time. The food's never going to be amazing. It's always going to be a long time. You're always uncomfortable. The seats are just never, never perfect. Now they've decided, they're all proud of themselves. This inventor has decided he's come up with a double-decker airplane seat. Take a look at this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, look at this guy.
Oh, no.
He's all excited. He's invented a double seat here. So now,
hell no.
It's been bad enough already, but now it's going to be even worse. So on a plane, now you're going to have people kind of sitting. Let me try and describe this to you. So you will be sitting in your row. Let's say you're on the bottom in like a regular row. This is that at the same height where your feet would be touching the ground. Then directly behind you and between you and the next seat behind you. By the way, the seat behind you is going to be looking directly into the area of where your ass is on the seat above. Then the seat in the middle is kind of raised slightly. So you'd probably be bumping your head on the ceiling at this point. I don't know how this is going to work, but they seem to be very proud of themselves. It's a new invention. A lot of people are very excited about this. I am not. What do you say about this? Go ahead. Ebenezer, what do you think first?
Bro, I don't know when I've seen double deckers in real life too. I don't think double deckers made buses better. Improvements sometimes, guys. You know what? There's three times where I thought double decker never worked. The time my girlfriend tried to bring an extra person into the relationship. The time they tried to make those buses never made better. And those pizzas, those double decker pizzas are terrible. Why would you think it would work in the sky? Back to you in studio.
Couldn't agree more. All right. So let me read you the story quickly, because this is going to be horrifying to those people who don't already know. Okay, so this guy who invented this, he's 23 years old, very proud of himself. You can see smiling in that picture. His name is Vincente. Hang on a second. Let me just get this right. Nunes Vincente. And he is 23. He is busy showing off this plane that we put in the picture just now with the double-decker seats at the Aircraft Interior Expo in Hamburg in Germany. So this time everything's gone fine, but there's been a huge debate about farting, because a lot of people who commented on this on Reddit, thing went viral, said fun for the farter, but not for the fartee. Farts aside, the bottom seat is the only one with extra legroom. A lot of people say, well, you've got to be careful because hot air rises. You know, a lot of people in the top seats will have to deal with a lot worse smells than the people in the bottom seats. But I'm with you, Ebenezer. I don't see how double deck has ever been better. Simpiwe, you want to try at this?
No, like, why? What was the reason? Why? Why? No. Is a no for me, because I'm the problem. No. But I'm the problem. I can already see myself as a short person who sits down, who my feet, they touch the ground, but I like, you know, swinging them. And I already know that you're going to have someone just kicking that thing, and then you're annoyed and you have to go up. You'd be like, excuse me, can you stop doing that? People already complain about kids on an airplane. How more when you have to be like, excuse me, ma'am, your child is making, it's a no.
And it's just, And the child is like, I don't speak to peasants.
Which seat would be worse? I mean, if you take a look at this picture, I reckon both have got major negatives to them. So first of all, obviously we mentioned in the top seat, you're going to have to deal with more fart smells because you're higher up. But also in the top seat, it's going to be complicated for some people to get in there. Old people are not going to be able to get in there. People who they wheel down the corridor in those tiny little wheelchairs are not going to be able to get in there. Obese people aren't going to be able to get in there. So it's going to be very, very difficult for them to sell this to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I don't see the bottom seats kind of worse in some ways, because you've now got someone towering over above you. Imagine they throw up and then it's going to dribble down the seats. You know, before you only had to worry about in front and behind. Now you have to worry about this stuff hitting you from above. I haven't thought this through, right?
Yeah.
Back to the drawing board.
Is that the guy who designed it, the guy in the picture?
That kid is the one who came up with this plan. He wants us to suffer more.
This guy looks like he's from Boxburg and like someone, his uncle like, made it big. Looks like he's from Boxburg, somewhere in the East End.
Yeah, careful.
Can you guys hear me?
And Pima's going to get all militant on you. She's from the East End.
Are you sure you want to say that again?
Are you cross your own shit, Nisa?
It looks like it's from my hometown. It looks like it's from my hometown. But he should not have been given this chance.
Well, does he own the planes? That's what I'm trying to say. It looks like his uncle owns those.
No. I really don't. I don't like this at all. I feel like this is a very, very dangerous move. Air travel's bad enough. They're going to make it even worse.
Wait, and then question. You know, like, you know, on an airplane, there's a number of people that can, like, the seats, right? So with this double decker, is it going to double the amount of people? Wait, so there's more people on the plane now.
I don't know if it'll double them, but they'll certainly try to squeeze more people in. So that's the plan, is it will make it more full, more uncomfortable, more cramped. I don't think this is good in any way. And I hate to shoot down an invention and innovation because I know people are trying hard to come up with new ideas and make some money and make life more convenient and more efficient. But I don't like this at all. I want to go back to when they used to smoke on the planes. Remember when there were those days where you had the TV ads and then the plane, everyone was always smoking everywhere. And the planes were like full of really, really hot cabin crew. They were all wearing these tight little dresses. They basically were like, I don't know, they were the prettiest women. They were models. They were all supermodels. And then they would bring you good food and you could smoke on the plane. Not that I'm a smoker, but that's how much freedom you had. Now it feels like you're in a prison camp when you get into a plane. They're like, where is your seatbelt, sir? Take off your headphones, all of that stuff. It feels like it's really gone backwards. It hasn't gone forwards.
Yeah. It's weird. The one of the flight attendants asked me, chicken or beef, maggot? And I'm like,
exactly. Yeah, they talk to you like that. They have no respect for the passenger at all. You're just a low fare customer on a bus, basically. You're being treated. It's like those bus conductors who'd come down and go, where's your ticket? You know, in the old days. Yeah. That's kind of what I think it is.
Yeah.
Congo Chris says those seats look like a Boxburg apartment. A lot of hatred for Boxburg coming through here now.
I love Boxburg. I love Boxburg. Yeah. It's like time traveling. I don't need a time machine. Every time I want to go back in time and reminisce. They still have a bread loaves. Who has a bread loaves, guys? I just want to... I saw a bread loaves on a Joshua door.
Yes, because our grandmother stayed. Okay, you know it. Eh? I don't like your tone. I really don't.
You're looking for shit now, Ebenezer. You've really scratched the wrong itch.
I'm coming. I can't wait to join you guys in the studio live. Me and
Simpio. Simpio can kill you with a knife in the studio.
Yeah, I will do it. Guys, I was on Twitter yesterday and I saw one of the most amazing clips of all times, right? So remember back in the day when reality TV was still hitting South Africa, like for the first time, they did like this reality show of like these soccer girlfriends, soccer wives, right? And they got in the A-listers back then. And there was this clip of these two ladies that didn't really get along. The one lady is Wendy and I forgot the other lady. And she didn't get along with this girl because she was the girlfriend who kept saying, he spends so much money on me, he does this or whatever. But she was also then saying a lot of shit about Wendy. Like, you know. And so now it's the reunion. I think it's post-reunion. They're now doing their media tour. And they're at a radio station. And it's the both ladies sitting there and they're asking them, so when you said this, what did you mean? And Randy was like, yeah, say it to my face. You could say it on, say it. And she's like, I don't speak. I beat. And she was just like ready to start a fight right there, like on some, yeah, I don't tolerate this. If you're going to say something, say it to my face. Like, and this was like captured. And, it's one of the, like, the best clips ever where it's like, yeah, she's about it. Like, she even did that. You know, when someone does this, she was disrespectful. No. And yeah, she was say it to my face. That's all I'm saying.
So who are these women?
That entire thing was because of the Foxburg thing. Damn.
Yes, say it to my face.
But it's become something that people do now. I think people look for fights. I saw this terrible thing on social media as well about these two women fighting in a Little Mermaid movie. In front of the kids, she's like, oh, you say that to my face. Obviously, it's in America. And these two women are like, the one woman's like pulling the other one's hair. Girl fights are way worse than guy fights. I've got to say that.
I prefer to watch them, though.
They're hilarious.
They're hilarious. Not because of any voyeuristic
fear
from me.
Well, by the way, someone, Congo Chris is also saying here, I haven't seen a Solly Kramers in 20 years. Then I went to Boxburg and I saw one. Solly Kramers. Wow. Bradlow's, Solly Kramers. What was the other one you said? Ellerines.
Joshua Dorr. Joshua Dorr.
Yeah, wow. But is it Ellerines? By Boxburg
CBD. Time capsule. You guys have not. You guys are still doing what you did in the '80s.
There's a lot of that going on.
Come on, own it. Is it true? You just said that there is.
No, I'm not owning it. I'm just saying the people that stay there. I stay with my grandmother, okay, and she's very fussy on where you get furniture, and so they have to accommodate people like her. And there are quite a few retirement homes in Boxburg. So that's the only reason, guys. That's the only reason. Where okay, we have other things.
So where does she like to go for her furniture?
Well, you see all these stores. So there's Boxburg CBD, and basically it's just a strip, and you get to pick. You know, we go to Boxburg Town. Yeah, she'll just be like, well, today I wanna go there, and you go there. It's like it's just another normal day.
You see, you didn't even know it. Look, you've hit on a very sensitive thing for people from the East Rand. This is why you're a good comedian. You notice these things, and then people are embarrassed.
No, but like the thing is, my girlfriend's from Boxburg. I met her in Boxburg actually, and then she actually asked for my number. And I said like 067, and she took out a rotary phone. She's like 067. All right. You know what? Let me get you on Facebook. And she's like, let me dial it up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just like, I'm gonna write you letters. And now we've been together 3 years later, going strong. It's been amazing.
How about this? Tracy says, what about Morkel's, your 2-year guarantee store?
Oh, the hits are coming out, buddy.
Please stop. Can we change the conversation? George, where are you?
Continue. Just raise your hand if there's also a Morkel's.
George Meany, where are you? Please.
All right.
The load shedding is not as bad though. In Boxburg, because they still with Casco. You guys remember Casco? the old electrical company.
Perry Urban.
No, right. I see. I some of the blue label workers are riding on bicycles. They're still
shame.
It's a great Volkswagen is better. They didn't get rely on the grid.
We started like this hour. We started this hour shitting all over Durban, and now we're shitting all over Boxburg. Let us wrap things up this morning by getting George Meany on. George Meany, autotrader.co.za. He was thrilled that you're on, George, because she was falling into a trap where she was forced to defend Boxburg. When last did you go to an Ellerines, a Morkel's, or a Bradlow's, or a Joshua Dore?
You know, some of the stores I've seen exist in like more rural areas, like in the Free State, you know, towns. I've seen them exist there. Like you drive past and you still exist? Wow.
Come on.
Oh, George, I thought you were going to save me. And then you say that.
It's the truth.
How about this one? Yes. Lady Lee says, Bears. Remember Bears? Bears really cares about you. Remember them? Oh, my God. Yeah, there's another one. All right, let's go. What do you got for us this morning, George?
Well, our next iteration of our ads that you know, poke the funny is out. I sent you a link there, Gareth, if you haven't got it already.
I don't know if I can play that now. I don't know if I can play it on here, just like I couldn't play the ad that Ebenezer's in.
Oh, I see. Okay, let me see if
you and Homolemo can find a way to play that, because I can't play it on my side.
Oh, even if we can't play it, go and have a look on my Instagram account, and you'll see a version of that ad. But basically, somebody's searching on Auto Trader, and they choose a car that is out of their price range, and when they click on the ad, all their furniture disappears. And so they try and undo what they're doing. So I mean, I'm hacking the ad. You should go watch it. I thought it was quite funny. So the last one was the guy stuffing money into his couch. This is the next iteration, and then there's a third one, to highlight the fact that that Auto Trader now has price ratings.
I love it. All right, well, we'll check that out. We'll see if we can play it a little bit later, maybe at the end of the show. What else have you got for us this morning, George?
So Tesla has hit a massive milestone in the first quarter of this year, and you know, in their crusade to ramp up EV adoption, they are the number one vehicle seller EV globally for the first quarter of the year. Marking the first time an EV is the top selling vehicle. Now that's not amongst EVs; it's amongst all cars. So they're kind of topping the charts now. People are buying Teslas hand over foot.
Are there a lot of Teslas in South Africa? Are there any Teslas in South Africa?
I know of one Tesla Model X, which was imported. You can import any car you want, provided you stick to the rules of privately importing a car. It's a very, very expensive to do. And then there was a Tesla Model 3, probably about 2-3 years ago, that was in South Africa as well. So those are the only two I know of. The problem with importing a car like that is it's not supported by anybody. The OEM is not here. If you're going to get parts, if you're going to bump it, scratch it, get a ding on the windscreen or a crack on the windscreen, you're going to suffer.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, the whole point with having these super rare cars or cars that aren't necessarily, they don't have manufacturers or service departments here in South Africa, is you have to have tons of money if something goes wrong.
Exactly. I mean, just the supply chain issues. I mean, Jaguar, the I-Pace is sold here. And I got a crack on the windscreen end of last year. I think it was November. I waited almost 6 months for that windscreen. For about 6 months. And
I mean, in Boxburg, they don't wait that long for crack. I thought you meant the windscreen. Sorry. All right. Well,
so
you don't have to be quiet during this part. George is used to. You see, he's so good at this. This is why brands hire him to do their ads.
Let it be known. Yeah.
All right. What else you got?
Auto Trader.
I didn't hear what you said, Minis. somebody has taken a Toyota Corolla. Talking about Tesla, somebody has taken a Toyota Corolla and turned it into a Tesla Transformer. And that's what it looks like. Tesla Transformer. And this car can transform into a robot.
Wow.
They are so Tesla mad that they turned their Toyota Corolla into a Tesla Transformer. Now,
from South Africa.
That, well, that was going to be my punchline, which is this is a South African.
Sorry.
Ebenezer, I'm just going to take you off for a moment because every time we talk, then there's some delay, and George and I aren't sure whether you're on or not. Go on, George. You were saying with this Tesla?
So he's a South African. Ufense Matsu is his name. He says he loves building things, and he channeled his passion into customizing his Toyota Tash, and making it look like a Tesla Model X. I mean, I'm not so sure if it looks like a Tesla Model X. Looks more like something from space. But he's transformed his car. I mean, I'd love to see this thing in real life, and you know whether it actually transforms or not. But apparently, it does.
Tell him to bring it around to your offices. I'm sure it wouldn't be the first bizarre car that you've had on your premises and that you've had on your books. Here's a quick question for you. Borge, do you have a favorite muscle car?
Yes, I do. I love the 68 Ford Mustang.
Mm. All right. That's your one.
Okay.
That's very nice. Very nice then. Borge says, cunning stunt, is Auto Trade Auctioneers a real company?
No, nothing about them.
So not related to Auto Trader at all. If they are out there, just be aware, everybody. And George, why are tracker companies, you're getting lots of questions today. Lovely Lady Lee says, George, why are tracker companies and insurers holding us ransom? What does she mean?
What do you mean, lovely lady?
Okay, I don't know if we can answer that. We need to know more. We need to know more. That's a terrible question. I'm sorry I even asked it. Tracy says, is that a Corolla that you've just described that identifies as a Tesla? I think that's what it is, right?
That is exactly right.
Right. Transcar. All right. Very
well,
good.
Well, it is a transformer. A transformer. Yeah.
Yes, of course. I mean, the transformers, there also used to be something called a Trans Am, wasn't there?
Yes, exactly. Trans Am. Michael Knight drove it. Knight Rider.
Right. Yeah. So there's lots of trans cars. It's not new. Cars were trancing before humans. Now you know. Right. Anything else you want to throw in?
Yeah, one last thing, and that is I don't know whether I believe this or not. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it was on a reputable news platform. And that is somebody has come up with a air powered technology to power a car, air powered car. It pulls electricity out of thin air, apparently.
Sounds too good to be true.
It does, because, you know, anything out of thin air is, if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true.
And it's not true. Yeah.
You know, so apparently there's this device it's the size of a thumbnail, thinner than a strand of hair, works at a molecular level by smashing materials into small particles. Now, isn't that called a particle accelerator?
Yeah, and if you have let me tell you something, you do not want a particle accelerator in your car. Traveling with you at hundreds of kilometers an hour. This is a recipe for disaster. You're going to open up black holes. Depending, obviously, how powerful your particle accelerator is, creating antimatter. This is a very bad idea. I want everybody to stop this immediately. This is nonsense.
Exactly. I don't know if it's even possible.
All right. Well, here's Mary with one last question. Mary Mulema, who says, George, do you guys have a car that costs 13,000 Rand? I don't think so. We found your cheapest car the other day. I think it was 16.
Yeah, I mean, let's have a look quickly, and we can go.
Mary, you must know how important you are to us. George is doing a live search on the site now to see what the cheapest car is.
11,900 and 12,950. There you go. There's two you can go for.
11,000 Rand. Mary, yee-le-le-le-le, you're going to have a great weekend. You're going to save 2 grand on a 13,000 Rand car. Go for it. That's great news. All right, everybody. Listen, I want to thank Ebenezer. I'm sorry I had to drop him off the call, but the delay was becoming a problem, and he's awesome, and you can find out more about him by following him on social media. I'm going to put up his details again for those people who didn't get to see it, so follow him. Here he is at r_Ebenezer, spelled Ebenezer. Thank you very much, dude, for being with us again. It's always good to see you. We will have him in studio next time. Simpiwe, you have a good weekend. George, you have an awesome weekend. And we will see everybody else Monday morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com